DEI. That's 11 to 0.
11 to 3 will replace the call.
Thank you. What we're going to do is, while some of the members are leaving, we're going to leave the roll open. We've got a couple of bills that remain on call. We'll leave the roll open for another 10 minutes on those bills. Members who are members of GO, if you have not voted, we've got several bills that remain on call. We're going to close the call at 10 minutes of 12. At 11:50, we're going to close the roll. Wanted to take a moment and thank all of you who participated in our work relative to internet gaming. We are going to, I'm going to edit a little bit. We have a kind of a final report document that we're going to distribute, where what we did was we summarized the five hearings that we've had. We did a summary of the day-long hearing that we had relative to internet gaming that we did in this room. So thus far, as some of you know, there have been a total of, I think, 7 hearings and about 17 hours of testimony relative to internet gaming. There are 2 bills that are in the hopper. We should have, and I think we have everyone here's email, because we were sending a lot of the information by email before. I know with respect to AB 45, per the hearings that we had, the 5, we're looking at making some amendments to what we had. Certainly, I want to thank all the people who participated in all 5. If it wasn't probably against some law, I'd like to give you something for participating in that discussion, but I can't, so I won't. But I've had some discussions with Senator Correa, and I've had discussions with different individuals supporting, in some cases, both bills or one or both bills. We're probably now, in terms of the 2 bills, much closer than we were at the beginning of the year in terms of the content of where the bills are going. At its core, I don't think that there's a disagreement about many of us wanting to have something advance in internet gaming. There are obviously some differences that remain. We're trying to resolve some of those. I think the hearings themselves shed light on a number of issues that actually help bring us closer together. We are by no means yet done, but I'm still optimistic that we will be able to fashion something that can get out of this committee in a bipartisan fashion and ultimately get to the floor. Some of you who came to all of the hearings will remember that we started off with the issue of exclusivity. We addressed that, I thought, very forthrightly, and some of that we'll make going forward. The games themselves still become a challenge. I think we're working on that, and you know, I've seen some language that I think resolves certainly one of the issues that I heard, which was that we would use the games definition so broadly to ultimately go into banked and class 3 games that would clearly violate the terms of all of the compacts that we have. There's no intention to do that, and we'll probably have language, certainly in 45, that strengthens that regard. You know, as you may have heard the chair mention, I want to try to have as an architecture that's broad enough so that we're not trying to continually do cleanup legislation, and that we don't so narrowly focus what we're trying to do that we hamper the ability of the enterprise to be profitable. We're also looking at, in fact, it's interesting, we just had a bill in this committee today relative to bid preferences. There was certainly, has been a lot of, who knows, the sucker's going in and out. There's certainly been a lot of concern as to the bid qualifications and how we do it. In one of our hearings, we had a long discussion about the Commerce Clause and the issues relative to the Commerce Clause as to how narrowly you can make it. In the justice discussions that I had last year, they were concerned about trying to make specific prohibitions, but indicated that they did not think that we would have the same kind of problem, although they were still skeptical, if we were doing preferences. We are going to certainly examine our preferences again and make sure that it is both legally defensible as well as the idea that it's something that we can make more people comfortable with. I'm going to stop for just a second. Not that this was a filibuster in any way, but I've got a member and I want to get our official part of the hearing closed. But I'm going to give the senator a moment to look at, okay, she's got a sheet. Why don't we open the roll on the bills on call?
Item number 2, SB 32, absent members Evans.
Aye.
Evans, aye. Hernandez. That passes 12-0. Excuse me. Item number 3, SB 39. Current vote is 7-3. Absent members Berryhill, Evans.
Aye.
Evans, aye. Hernandez. That passes 8-3. Item number 4, SB 67. Current vote is 10-1. Absent members Evans.
Aye.
Evans, aye. Hernandez. That passes 11-1. Item number 5, SB 117. Current vote is 6-5. Absent members Evans.
Aye.
Evans, aye. Hernandez. That passes 7-5. Item number 6, SB 416. Current vote is 6-5. Absent members Evans.
Aye.
Evans, aye. Hernandez. That passes 7-5. Item number 7 is our consent calendar. Absent members Evans.
Aye.
Evans, aye. Hernandez. That passes 12-0. Item number 8, SB 493. Current vote is 8-3. Absent members Evans.
Aye.
Evans, aye. Hernandez. That passes 9-3. Item number 9, SB 497. Current vote is 6-3. Absent members Berryhill. Evans.
Aye.
Evans, aye. Hernandez. That passes 7-3. And item 10, SB 643. Current vote is 11-0. Absent members Evans.
Aye.
Evans, aye. Hernandez. That passes 12-0.
Thank you. So we're going to get, I hope, by, I mean, I've got a draft and I want to just work on a little bit more to look at. What I hope that people who have been interested in this will do is, I mean, let's just continue the dialogue again. I know we've still got an open issue relative to eligibility. I know we've still got an open issue relative to the type of game. I think there may be ways we can reconcile some of these issues. I know that some of the tribal members were concerned about the issue of not only exclusivity, but sovereignty as you participate in the game. The language that is contained in 45, I didn't tell you, I got it from the regulators who raised that concern with me relative to the ability to essentially enforce California law if there were a hiccup. But again, I certainly would be interested if there was a way around what justice says. I mean, you know, the thing we know about lawyers is if you get five of them together, you'll get five different opinions. So I'm certainly open to hearing some other concerns. The concern they raised comes from the ability to actually have enforcement if someone is in fact a sovereign. It makes enforcement very difficult. That will also be contained in our paper that we're drafting and that we'll distribute. I hope in the next week or so that we're able to flush out as much as we can. Some things are things that we differ on. I know that, you know, there are a number of people who were concerned about the prohibition that we were making relative to people who have been gaming in California in the post-Uija period. Both bills contain some of that. I can tell you again, that was something that came from our own Justice Department, which is where I got it from. I recognize that that gives some people a bit of difficulty. There have also been concerns raised relative to the fact that we've made playing on a non-California regulated site a misdemeanor. The reason for that is that, again, in consultation both with our own Justice Department and internationally, the issue had been that once you have a law that does that, that it gives your law authority or your legal authorities the ability to go to the nations where those other sites are housed and seek remedies from the regulators in those countries. Absent there being a specific statute, you're unable to do that. So a variation of that is contained in both bills. I'm not trying to necessarily put someone in jail forever, but what we would like is the ability to have a government-to-government discussion to say that that violates California law. Our experience thus far, checking with several of the European countries, the ones that made it specifically a crime did see a reduction and a cessation of that play in their countries. The ones that didn't. And so we believe, you know, that many of the companies that have the games would reduce them. I'd say again that, you know, our ambition, our goal would be to get back a percentage of those players that are already playing and then be able to take over some of the growth. So that's kind of where we are. Again, I hope certainly in the next week that we'll have kind of a summary document available. You know, people who have issues that they're able to bring forward, you know, that we can resolve, let's try to do that, you know, in the next week to 10 days, and hopefully we can move forward with something, you know, that at least the majority of us are comfortable with, recognizing that some people hate it all. Let's just see if we can move something that gets the majority of people comfortable. If someone has a comment, we'll take it. Otherwise, we'll adjourn and get everybody out of here by noon. Okay, not seeing a mad rush to the microphone. Again, let me thank all of you who have, you know, some of you have actually done the whole 17 hours with me. So you either are a glutton for punishment or you're seriously interested in internet gaming. But for all of you and people who have ideas, you know, certainly get them to us, because we hope to. You can't speak from back there, Reverend. You got to come this way. But if there are some ideas or some things that we should take or we should look at, we're planning to move forward with this in due time. Yes, sir, just come right there.
Thank you, Senator. I introduced myself, Ben Tulchin, who I do public opinion research, and we conducted a survey, statewide survey, on this subject a couple months ago. And I just want to share the results of that survey, because it's quite enlightening in terms of where the public is on this issue. We asked specifically how the public felt about, quote, regulating and taxing the profits of online poker, and we found overwhelming support. Specifically, 66% of the public voters statewide support regulating and taxing the profits of online poker. In fact, it's a rare issue that found bipartisan support in this era of very polarized political environment that we're in. Specifically, 71% of Democrats support it, 68% of declined to state or independent voters, and even 56% of Republicans support it, which is rare indeed to find such bipartisan support. Support up and down the state, Central Valley, Bay Area, and LA all support it. And they're specific, I should clarify, in terms of what voters support. They support a very fairly narrow kind of structure, regulatory structure of online poker. They support poker. They don't support all kind of wide open, all types of games. They strongly prefer that the gaming operators be based in California versus out of state. 65% prefer in-state operators versus only 5% prefer out of state. It's even a bigger margin versus offshore. A lot of the companies, as you may know, are now based offshore. 76% of voters prefer in-state versus only 3% prefer offshore companies. And specifically, in terms of who would run these sites, strong preference for entities that have experience in California running existing gaming operations versus opening up the process to any sort of entity. So that's a 76% prefer those California's trusted gaming partners versus only 13% support.
So why is this important?
Testifying to the public's opinion support.
Yeah, but again, if we put on the ballot anything for gaming, it would never, the lottery didn't get 66%. Gaming in this state is not going to be something that ever gets that. So most of what you're saying is wholly irrelevant. So what? So if I ask people, do you like this versus that? So what? People generally, if you put poker, period, on the ballot, it might fail. Period. The poker parlors that we have. In Inglewood, in my hometown, it took 3 passes to get a poker initiative passed, and it got 52% the last time. So where are we going with this?
Well, Chairman, I worked on Prop 1A and Prop 5 that legalized Indian gaming in the state.
Mm-hmm. And I did too.
And those passed with 60%+ of the vote. So this shows that in that framework, in fact, there are strong parallels to
But again, the thing that made Indian gaming work wasn't Indian gaming. It was that people had a concern about distrust and abuse that was done to tribes.
They supported tribes.
Most people didn't even take into account the gaming component that took place. Fortunately, we're not going to have to relive that, because if it were relived and the gaming element was enhanced, it may not pass today.
I understand that what the survey shows is that if
why don't we do that? Why don't you just give it to me? You've got it written. I'll just take it in written form, because I don't want to go through hearing a survey that you did, because I mean I could make a survey that would say something different. It depends on how I phrase the questions. So I ain't a real big polling guy, and that's not how the basis of how I do public policy. I don't do policy on polling. So I appreciate your work, but I don't really care what it says.
Okay, we'll happy to share the results.
Thank
with you.
You.
Thank you, Chairman.
All right. If there are no other issues, then we're adjourned. Thank you.